Welcome to another edition of the 2019 College Crosscast Conference Previews. I am Chris Tisremski with Saif Fakadu, and this episode we take a look at the America East. There are seven teams in this conference, highlighted by Albany, and we will start with those Great Danes. They went 16-3 overall a year ago, and they made the Final Four, but a lot of those guys from that team aren't there anymore. Connor Fields, Justin Ray, Troy Ray, J.D. Colarusso, Kyle McClancy, they all graduated. Liam Gleason, the defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Siena, and T.D. Erland, their top faceoff guy, is now at Yale. And even Zach Ornstein, their backup, who didn't play last year, he's at Villanova. So, Saif Fakadu, all those losses, will we see the same team from in Albany win the America East this year?
You know, Chris, I think it's highly unlikely that Albany is going to be that national power that they were last year. I mean, shout out to you and your amazing work in the College Cross Matrix. But when I look at the page for Albany and I look at the statistical leaders for goals, assists, points, faceoff, ground balls, cross turnovers, goals against average, and save percentage, only one guy returns, Dehoga Nanacoke, with goals at 50. As you already pointed out, Connor's gone. He's not one of the all-time greats at Albany. They lose T.D. early to transfer to Yale. But also on the defensive end is some huge losses, and that's the part that I think is Albany's going to struggle a little bit more to replace. You pointed out the Rays. You know, combined, they had 66 ground balls. Stone Sims had 13 ground balls, but he led the team in cost turnovers. J.D. Colarusso, you know, one of the best goalies Albany's had, in a Scott Maher era. And we've always pointed out, you know, over the last few years that Albany, you know, had no problem getting points on the board, but sometimes it was, the defensive end that, really hindered them from taking that next step. And last year, they really kind of put it all together. And now going into 2019, you know, you obviously lose big time players in the offensive end. But I honestly think that the defensive losses, especially the Rays, it's going to Troy Ray and J.D. Colarusso in particular, and Kyle McClancy, that's going to be really difficult for them to fill those holes. So I think, you know, Albany's still going to be, you know, formidable in the America East. They probably have more than a good shot to repeat. But I think the gap between them and some of their competitors in the conference has shrunk. And I just don't see Albany as a national power like they were last year.
I think there's a good chance they do win the America East. But as you mentioned, they won't be that same team that we've seen them last year and even 2 years ago when they were, you know, coming up as a team that might have been a national power. Stone Sims, one of the bigger losses. Now, as for the guys returning, Jacob Patterson's going to be big. I've heard he might be moving to attack with the Hoka. You also have the Bergmasters, Alex and Jack. They can play both ways. Sean Eccles returns as one of the key returners on the midfield. Davis Diamond, Mitch Laffin as well at attack. Ron John in midfield, who played in the World Games this year. Matt Perla and Eric Dooley. And then even Nate Sikirski, who got some time in that championship game blowout against Yale. So I would think maybe this team is still the favorite to win the America East, but the gap between them and everyone else is not that big. And as we move on to the other teams, we'll start with Binghamton. Not that good since Tom Moore graduated in 2017. Binghamton went 4-11. It was not good for Kevin McCown's second year.
I mean, really time step back. They had an 11-5 year in 2017, as you pointed out, going pretty much reversing the record in 2018 and going 4-11. You know, they lose a good amount of offensive power, like 50% of their points was lost to seniors, and they, you know, lost about a third of their starters from last year. So, I mean, you know, hopefully Coach McCown can, kind of regroup, get this team back on the right track that they were in 2017. But, you know, it's going to be, it's always kind of difficult after having a subpar year to kind of bounce back. So I think, you know, they should have hopefully a little bit better year, maybe closer to 500. But, I'd probably see them closer to the bottom of the America East.
Mm-hmm. They had a really good defense as well in 2017. Tanner Cousins, now an assistant again. Garrett Waldron, they left. Zach Barrett, who was a big contributor as well. he suffered a season-ending knee injury the year before the 2018 season. He'll be back this year. That'll help. Joe Licata returns as well. But as you mentioned, the scoring, they lose a lot of scoring, and their leading scorer gone, Thomas McJandry, only had 28 points in a year ago. Faceoff guy, Austin Mackey, went 46.1%. So, I mean, they need to find people to at least build off from those spots. And, you know, it wasn't a good year for Binghamton. They didn't win, I don't think. It took them a long time for them to win their first game, I believe, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can pull it up now, but I kind of feel you. I think they kind of started slow out of the gate.
Delaware, made that Delaware win. That was their first win. They lost their first six games. And then they won three. They won three in a row. They beat Siena, Lafayette, and Hartford. But, you know, there's a lot of work to be done with Binghamton. They didn't find another goalie. I think Kevin Carbone was their guy a year ago. So we'll see what happens with them in 2019. Also a team that didn't have the best of years was Hartford, the Hawks. They were just coming off of a America East Championship in 2016. In the past 2 years, they've been regressing, and now it's 2019. They went, I believe last year, they went 3-10 and winless in Ryan Martin's second year in America East play. Their leading goal scorer in Griffin Finer and point scorer, gone. They lose about 73% of the senior scoring, and nearly 60% of the starts, and they even lose a younger midfielder who I thought would have been good, and Alex Smith, who's now at Maryland. Dylan Bertesto also gone. Ryan Vanderford gone as well. Again, not another team similar to Binghamton, but even a lot of those leaders are gone, and they still have a few guys there. I believe they have Dylan Jinks. Dylan Jinks is one of their better midfielders, but outside of that, there's a big gap.
Especially, I mean, when you lose nearly three quarters of your offensive production from last year, like, that's going to be difficult for any team to replace. You know, even more so for a team like Hartford that you know, hasn't had a, you know, the kind of a good season in the last 2 years. Kind of, you know, worried a little bit about their faceoff. You know, Protesto was, you know, excellent last year, 62%. I think, as you pointed out in your Matrix post for Hartford, Nolan Little, you know, it's likely to replace him, but, you know, he only went 11 of 21 last season, so it wasn't like he had a lot of reps in there. So it's going to be, you know, kind of probably uphill sledding for Hartford. Going 0-6 last year in America East, you know, really, you know, wasn't that great of a look. And your point about Griffin Finer, you know, he was a big-time player for them, and as well Justin Huggins. So you lose two, you know, of your big-time attacks. And, you know, Ryan Davidson was also good there as well with nearly 35 points, 16 goals, and 19 assists. So you lose pretty much your entire starting attack. The three of your higher-scoring players to graduation and your face-off guy. It's going to be kind of difficult there. You know, goalie losing Ryan Vanderford, you know, he kind of had a little bit of a subpar season, below 50%, so hopefully he'll be able to bounce back. But, you know, they lose a lot, you know, 60% of the starts, as you pointed out. You know, that's kind of good in one way. You know, that means a lot of young kids who didn't get shots are, you know, going to be, you'll be able to play your way into the lineup this year. You know what I mean? So, and there's a lot of shots out there that, you know, will have to be taken by other players. So hopefully other players, you know, some young guys step up. But, I mean, kind of see them kind of struggling a little bit this year. You pointed out they do bring in a, you know, pretty decent size freshman class, so, you know, it's going to be kind of trial by fire for these young boys. So hopefully they, you know, get their footing quickly and can kind of make a little bit of noise in the American East, or at least win, you know, a couple games in the conference to kind of make it competitive and maybe get into the conference tournament. But yeah, it's going to be a little difficult, I think, for Coach Martin and his boys.
It's going to be a very young team, and I've read that maybe even for faceoff they might go with a junior LSM, Nick Vasquez. It's worked before with some teams. Georgetown, Tyler Knarr was a most notable one. But if you have to go with an LSM for your faceoff guy, it doesn't seem that good. But we'll move on to a team that, you know, could be creeping up in those America East standings. And that's Stony Brook. They went 5-1 in America East play last year. They finished 7-8. They lost to Vermont in the America East semifinals. They did beat them in the regular season. But they were voted second in front of Vermont in the America East poll, preseason coaches poll, which I found pretty interesting. And I know I've been high on Stony Brook from what I've been hearing from, you know, people close to the program. And they have a guy by the name of Rylan Reese who's going to be very, very good, a very underrated defenseman. He had 24 cost turnovers and 45 ground balls a year ago. They lose literally 8 of their 217 points from a year ago from seniors. That's a very small amount. So they're turning a lot of their guys. Tom Hahn, Jack Walsh, John Ehlers back at faceoff. That may be the hole that they need to fix, 42.9% of the faceoffs. And then even goalie Michael Bollinger had a 10.63 goals against average and about 47.6% save percentage. But this could be one of the two teams, and we'll get to the second team later, that could compete with Albany for an America East crown.
Stony Brook really had a kind of an interesting season, starting out this year 0-4, and then finishing up 7-4. And I always kind of find it interesting with the 7-8 regular season record, or 7-8 record, but going 5-1 in the American East play to win the regular season. Really, impressive job by Coach Nagel to really come through conference time. Stony Brook is going to have a lot of their weapons back. You know, they lose most of their losses are towards the defensive end, but even their senior departures from last year, you know, it's only 15%, I believe, from your post. So they will have everyone back. They finished really strong, going 7-4 in your last 11 games is a great turnaround after starting the year 0-4. So hopefully they can build on that momentum. They have a lot of their key players coming back, and I think they should hopefully make a little bit of noise. I think you pointed out there they still have Rylan Reese. He led the team in 45 ground balls and 24 cost turnovers last year. So, they have, hopefully, like I said, we pointed out that they have a lot of their offense coming back. Most of their defensive players, the team leaders are going to be back this year as well. So they should maybe make another play for the America East regular season crown, especially if, as we predict, Albany, not a massive step back, but, they may not just be that juggernaut that they've been for, last few years in conference play.
Yeah, they have a tough schedule. I consider it a good schedule to start. They host Penn State at home on the 16th as their opener. They also have Brown and Hofstra, but I would think maybe April 6th against Princeton could be a good game for both teams, and they could be, possibly in a hunt for an at-large. I doubt it, but you never know, depending how good these teams are. But this could be a very good game for both teams coming into April and the home stretch of their conference tournaments. We're going to move on to another team that had a good year last year, in year four of a program. That was UMass Lowell. They finished 8-8. They finished 3-3. They made it to the America East semifinals. They lost to Albany in a tough game for the Riverhawks, a near upset, too. But the only thing is, with that year four bump they have, they lose a lot of guys. Will Poduski, one of the better LSMs in the country. Sean Tyrell, their leading point getter. John Phillips, their leading goal scorer. Matt Balter. They lose about 63.6% of their scoring and a little bit under 50% of their senior starts. But, they have some guys. Hunter Braun, especially in goal, was a solid, had some very good performances in goal for the Riverhawks last year. He could be one of the two best goalies in the America East this year.
Losing nearly 65% of your points from last year is going to be a big blow, but so they're probably going to lean on their defense. It'll be interesting to see how they can improve upon last year. Going 8-8, for UMass Lowell, as you said, year four bump, getting into the America East tournament, and that's all really positive steps in the right direction for Coach Stevenson and his boys. But, big time losses with Poduski, and it's going to be difficult when you lose so many points from your team but from last year's team. So I'll be, interested to see how they do. Like I said, I think their defense should probably be they'll probably lean a lot on their defense. And, it's going to be kind of difficult because, you know, to break into the top tier, but they should probably still have enough to be in that middle pack and make, you know, the third or fourth slot in the America East tournament.
Yeah, they do have a returning scorer, Austin Lane, as well. 25 goals and 36 points from a year ago. That will help their offense a little bit. Now, a team that wants to stop offense is UMBC and their killer bee defense. Tommy Lingler had a 7.33 goals against average. He had Billy O'Hara last year, who graduated, who led the team with CTs and GBs. But they are well known for their killer bees defense. Nick Griffin returns 19 ground balls, 14 calls, turnovers. Linger, as I mentioned as well. Their LSMs are pretty much all from California, but it's their offense that's a problem. Now, they do lose only 4 points from a year ago. That's 3.1%. But
that's insane.
they didn't score a lot last year, and a big exactly. reason was because their entire starting attack was pretty much out before the start of March. So that's a big problem. Billy Nolan is on the midfield. He does come back with 34 points. He had a 20-goal performance a year ago. But guys like Trevor Pastorkey, sorry if I butchered your name, I probably did, Mitch Howell, Ryan Frawley, Brett Bolchia, Steven Cicelli, they're all back, and maybe with a new face as the offensive coordinator, that can help UMBC even challenge a few other teams and even put some offense up as well.
Yeah, I'm happy you pointed out the face-off, but not to pick on Jay Brothers, but, you know, only going 36% last year. Pretty much you can only go up from that, going to 2019. UMBC is a really interesting team. I think Ryan Moran is a really good young coach. He's obviously has his defense going into the right direction. If they can just, find some points. They may be able to, surprise some teams out there. As you said, they not losing much at all from last year. Obviously, in points, they're not losing much. They're only losing 4, and they're only losing 13% of their starts from last year. So the same group that, really solid defensively is going to come back, and hopefully if they can just get a couple points on the board more per game, they may be able to steal a game here or there. And who knows, this may be a low-key team to in terms of sneaking in a East tournament. Last year they did go 3-3 even when they were barely scoring any points. If they can just put a few more points on the board game, they could maybe to winning record for them to get into the tournament is either a third or fourth team.
Now to a team that made its mark last year and made itself on the map of college across, Vermont Catamounts, who had a very, very good year, 12-4 overall. They did lose to Albany in the America East Championship. Maybe without Albany, they could have been in the NCAA tournament under Chris Fife's second year. The biggest thing is they lose Ian McKay, their leading offensive guy. They lose James Lear on their defense and Graham Bocklet, but they do return Dawes Melschling. They do return Liam Limoges. They do return Warren Jeffrey, who led the team in cause turnovers. Andrew Simeon as well, a big guy with ground balls. And even Nick Rashuda in goals, 7.72 goals against average and nearly 61% on save percentage. This team, probably right now, experience-wise from last year, could be the toughest test for Albany in terms of staying atop the America East.
I agree with you. We've loved Catamounts for last 3 years. We've been on this site. Really good offense a couple of years ago, and now they've kind of put it together with a pretty decent defense last year to make some really impressive moves in the conference. I think we love Ian McKay. I love saying return of the Mac, whatever he was playing. But they actually don't lose that much offensively. Only 23% of their scoring from last year is gone. They only lose also 25% of their starts from last year. They still have, an excellent goalie in Nick Washuta. And I think that they should be, we'll get to who we predict, but I don't see Vermont going backwards this year. I think that they, had a really good season last year. I think things are going in the right direction for Coach Fife's, and they really impressed me last year, and I think they are going to be, they're going to be a problem for Albany and anyone else who has visions of winning the America East.
Rob Hudson and Ben French, also big guys that are returning for the Catamounts this year. So, you know, I think they'll definitely make a mark in the America East. All right, so the time has come. Safe, there are seven teams in the America East. Only one can win. Who is your pick to win the America East in 2019?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Vermont.
Ooh, okay.
I think I am. I'm maybe a little hot takey. I just think, like, Albany fell off. It will fall off just good amount. Who knows? Maybe it's significant. Maybe it's just like a little bit of a bump from R. But I think Vermont's going in the right direction. They got a lot of their players coming back. They made they can put points on the board, and they still have Nick Washuta in goal. You know, I'm feeling Catamount fever, Chris. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I'm going to go with Vermont for my AQ.
It's certainly not a hot take. I would put them number two, but I still think with the it's tough. I'm going with Albany, but I would not be surprised if Vermont wins it, and I think Vermont would be the trendy pick. I just have to see how the loss of Ian McKay does for Vermont. I'll be out in Vermont for that first game against Utah. We'll see how they are. But I just think Albany will just come out a little bit better. But I will see definitely a different Albany team. They do have Tahoka, sure. But if Tahoka can't carry this team, that's a problem. And I think maybe he's got a good supporting cast still there. With the Great Danes, I'm just going to barely go Albany. But, you know, my heart says Vermont, but my brain says Albany. So, with that is our America East preview. You can check out the rest of the conference previews on collegecross.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Safe, you can be followed at where?
Oh, at Erie_Barrister.
You can follow me at CF Jastrzemski. You can follow College Cross on Twitter at college_Cross. This is a show. We are the hosts. You are the best.